Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Approved. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at Monday.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To football full circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We are here in these summer months. It is time for a big picture, full preview of a new football season, both in the National Football League and some college football discussion here today on FFC. So, Lisi guy, let's start. In the NFL, we are just under 10 weeks away from the start of a new National Football League season. We are getting ready for 2023. Not long, the guys will be back at training camp, getting things started, getting ready to kick off a new campaign. So, Lisi, let's go big picture. First and foremost right now, as we look at this year's Super Bowl odds, Super Bowl 58. The Chiefs, the Eagles, and the Bills, the three best prices. KC, the reigning Super Bowl champions, plus 600. That's the favored number. Philadelphia, the second best price at 8-1. Buffalo is 9-1, Joe. And then the Bengals and the Niners round out the top five. It's the same price for both Cincinnati and San Francisco at 10-1. Lisi guy, that's where things stand as we are about to enter a new 2023 NFL season.
Yeah, the usual suspects, right? I even think the top six, and I'll throw in the Dallas Cowboys, are deserving to be right behind the San Francisco 49ers because of the consistency on offense. Dak Prescott does come back. They add Brandon Cooks. They get Deuce Vaughn in terms of the NFL draft from Kansas State. So, you know, we talked about this in terms of Arizona and how I made the top three bets in terms of the win totals. I'm even willing, and I've talked about this in the offseason, to take a shot with equal units from Kansas City down to Dallas to win potentially the Super Bowl this year, and I think I have a pretty good shot to at least make money or at least break out even, because I think the Cowboys are going to be a contender in the NFC.
So, Lisi, explain that thought process, how you're seeing things already this year. As you go through the betting card and you go through some of the wagers you have already circled in on, how are you looking at how this season plays out?
Well, I mean, definitely in the AFC, we know it's Kansas City, Buffalo, and Cincinnati, and then everybody else, right, at this point, until a team potentially bounces back into form, maybe a team like Miami or a team like Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. But outside of that, we know that those three teams are head and shoulders above the rest right now. So to take a shot with Cincinnati at 10-1, Buffalo at 9-1, and Kansas City at 6-1, I mean, think about it, Ben. You take the top six teams, right? And even if Kansas City wins, you know, back to back, you're breaking out even in terms of the bet. And if you do, let's just say, get one of those NFC teams to potentially break through in terms of the Eagles, Dallas, or San Francisco, you're making at least 400 on a one unit bet, right, across $100. So that's the way I see it. I mean, yeah, can a team like the Chargers compete? Absolutely. But again, I'd rather wait to see those teams develop and then jump on it. At the end of the day, you might even get better value on those teams if they start slow and then make a second half run like we saw Jacksonville do last year in knocking off the Chargers.
And that will be a very interesting conversation, Joe, because Buffalo and Kansas City, two of the five hardest schedules as we get ready for 2023. And Joe, to your point about the AFC, we'll dive conference by conference to really kind of lay out the landscape of where things stack up in the National Football League. There is that tier of three that has really come to the forefront in the last, what, three NFL seasons: Kansas City, Buffalo, and Cincy. The Chiefs right now, Joe, the favorites in the AFC. That's no surprise, as they are the favorites
favorites to win Super Bowl 58. It's a plus 350 number for the Chiefs. The Bills behind them by a buck, plus 450. And then the Bengals round out the top three at 5-1. Now, we'll talk about Cincy versus Buffalo in just a moment. But, Joe, those three teams, the tier of three in the AFC, the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Bengals, all well in front of where the next team stacked up within the AFC. Again, an indication we will see one of those three, KC, Buffalo, or Cincy, playing for an AFC championship come late January. Because, Joe, the Bengals have the third best price at 5-1. It doubles by the time you get to Baltimore and New York, that being the Jets, both at a 10-1 number, both tied for the fourth best price, and then add on two more dollars, a 12-1 price on the Miami Dolphins. That's the top six at this moment. So, Joe, there is that tier of three, as the odds would say, and as our eyeballs have really told us over the past now three to NFL seasons.
Yeah, and I think outside the quarterback as well, they have the offense and defense aligned to absolutely compete for a Super Bowl title. That's not to take away from those other teams, but just on paper, right here in the offseason, barring any major injury, I agree that those three teams are deserving in the AFC Conference Championship odds. And at the end of the day, the other contenders are going to have to compete with those teams to knock them off. So again, you take Kansas City, you take Buffalo, you take Cincinnati, you're guaranteed at least 6-1 with the Chiefs if they win the championship.
It's a good look, Joe. It's how you break down these future prices, because let's not forget, once you put your money into this, you're not going to see the return on it for quite some time, right? To win an AFC championship, that doesn't happen until one of the final weekends in January. That's more than 6 months from where we stand right here in the summer. And then, of course, later into February, that's that Super Bowl price, Super Bowl 58. You are tying up your money for quite some time to see the return on your long-term investment. Now, Joe, we'll get to the AFC. We'll talk about the top of this conference up next. We'll maybe talk a couple of long shots, and then we'll flip to the other conference in the NFC that feels, let's just say, a little bit more up in the air. Maybe there is more value available in the NFC at this point. It's a preview of the 2023 NFL season, live right here on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on Football Full Circle, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. So, Joe, let's dive into the AFC as we look at the conference picture for 2023's NFL season. Again, there is the tier of three at the top: the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Bengals. KC, the favorite, plus 350. A full dollar in front of Buffalo, who is then the second best price at plus 450, and the Bills, Joe, 50 cents in front of the Bengals at 5-1. Joe, in your mind, should Buffalo be ahead of Cincinnati in this market, or really any market as it pertains to the futures?
Well, not in my opinion, not now, because of the situation with Stephon Diggs. That's the uncertainty. I'm not buying in that all of a sudden it's just dead and buried and it won't creep its way into the regular season in any capacity. And Cincinnati knocked off Buffalo at the end in terms of the playoff run in Orchard Park by 2 touchdowns as an underdog in that ball game. So they've been to back-to-back AFC championship games. They've succeeded more in the conference than Josh Allen in Buffalo, and that's not a knock on their accomplishments under Sean McDermott. It's just fact. So right here, right now, I would have Cincinnati there maybe at the 9-1 price and flip-flop, have Buffalo maybe even 11-1 because of the situation with Stephon Diggs. But that won't happen because it's Buffalo.
Yeah, I don't really know, Joe, if it's Diggs that moves the number or the needle all that much for me. Stephon Diggs is going to be in Buffalo this year. He's going to be a key component of this offense. We have seen Stephon Diggs in his time with the Bills the past three seasons really coincide to the leaps and bounds that Josh Allen has taken as one of the best starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. For me, it's the idea of prove it versus optimism. And proven nature backs up Cincinnati and Kansas City. That is not the case for the Buffalo Bills. 2020, of course, the Bills go down to the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. 2021, Buffalo loses to Kansas City in that sensational divisional round game, and you can blame a coin, you can blame old overtime rules, whatever it might be, Buffalo still bounced in the second round of the NFL postseason. And maybe even more strongly, Joe, it's this past year for the Buffalo Bills hosting Cincinnati on that wintry day in Western New York in Orchard Park, where all the environment was going to back them up as a 5.5-point home favorite, and the Bengals absolutely routed the Bills 27-10. Since he has been there, since he has proven it, since he has done it, of course, we know that is the case for Kansas City. So, Joe, in my estimation, I would have the Bengals with that second best price at plus 450 in front of Buffalo. Now, here is not what I am saying. I am not diminishing anything that Buffalo has done, or will do entering this 2023 season. Buffalo is still one of the three best teams potentially in the entire league, but certainly, Joe, in my mind, within the AFC as a conference, as a whole. It's just for me, when you look at futures prices and the proven pedigree of what the Bengals have already accomplished and what they are set to continue to press forward, I would have Cincy in front of Buffalo as well.
Yeah, they're more consistent, I would say, right? You know, you look at Buffalo last year in terms of some lapses that they had. Obviously, the game with Minnesota was, you know, tumultuous in terms of how that game played out. We saw Josh Allen lose to the New York Jets on the road. You know, there were inconsistencies for Buffalo on teams that they should have just beat, you know, handily, and they didn't step up. Cincinnati, in my opinion, much more consistent, and I agree with you. That's why I would, you know, put them ahead of Buffalo. And again, I'm not suggesting that the situation with Stephon Diggs is that he's not going to play. What I'm saying is I think it will affect the continuity. I think at some point it could affect the locker room, and that's why another reason why I would have Cincinnati ahead of Buffalo based off of the uncertainty about this situation in Buffalo, because you never know. Once a losing streak hits, you don't know how a team's going to respond, especially if there's unresolved, I want to say, you know, debate or unresolved situations or scenarios that have to be played out and at least rectified before they step on the football field.
Yeah, it's going to be something, Joe, to follow throughout this offseason. When the Bills return to Rochester for training camp, how do things look for Buffalo? All right, Joe, now to the NFC, because again, there's that tier of three in the AFC that, regardless of how you stack them up, feels pretty solidified. Actually, Joe, I'm going to go back on that. Before we get to the NFC, let's look at some of the other teams in the AFC, because we consider this, Joe, one of the most difficult conferences we have seen in quite some time. Just look at the list of the top eight prices to win this conference championship. We mentioned the top three, KC, Buffalo, Cincy. And then the drop-off from a 5-1 price with the Bengals to a 10-1 number for both the Ravens and the Jets. The Dolphins, the sixth best number at 12-1. Those are three teams, Joe, in the six best prices, all hailing from the same division, the AFC East, and the two others from the AFC North. And there's the Chargers at 13-1. The Jags are the odds-on favorites to win the AFC South. If you win your division, you make it to the playoffs, you host a playoff game. It's 15-1 for Jacksonville, 17-1 for Cleveland, 25-1 for the Steelers, the 10 best prices in the AFC. Joe, just how difficult do you think the path through the AFC is going to be this season?
Oh, very difficult. And even those teams, Buffalo and Cincinnati, don't have a walk in the park to win the AFC East and obviously the North in their division, right? It's not going to be easy. You know, Baltimore is going to be improved, and now Lamar Jackson has his money. Obviously, Kenny Pickett with Pittsburgh in year number two. How about Deshaun Watson? He shook off the ring rust. I expect, you know, a better, more consistent offense out of the Cleveland Browns. And then at the end of the day, you have a young, up-and-coming Jacksonville team that fears absolutely nobody. They beat Justin Herbert down 30-0 in their place. They get the victory 31-30, and Doug Peterson got the most out of that team in year number one. So again, it's not easy. All of these teams are going to beat each other up. Even in the AFC West, it's not going to be easy for Kansas City to just, you know, zoom through that conference. Right. So, or division. So, you know, there's going to be bumps and bruises, but at the end of the day, when you look at it, it's, yeah, those top three teams and then everyone else. But that doesn't mean Baltimore, obviously Jacksonville, Miami, or the Chargers can't make a run to potentially challenge for a conference championship.
Right. It's all about getting to the postseason. The Chargers have the optimism always, Joe, as you know. The Dolphins certainly have the chops, it would seem, this year to be in the conversation. Is it a divisional championship? Maybe not. Is it winning one of those wild card spots? Certainly the case. So as we look at the teams, Joe, outside of the top three, the Chiefs have won the AFC West 7 consecutive seasons. They are booked as a minus 160 odds on favorite. Buffalo is the favorite to win the AFC East, and Cincinnati is the favorite to win the AFC North. So outside of that, we mentioned Jacksonville, minus 160 to win the AFC South as well. An odds-on favorite, you win the division, regardless of what your record is, regardless how the rest of the division stacks up, you're going to get to host a playoff game come January. So, Joe, those wild card contenders then, the Ravens, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Chargers, the Browns. Baltimore has the best price. It's minus 158 for the flock to make it to the playoffs. Things feel pretty good. Once again, having Lamar Jackson happy and paid there in the Charm City. So once you look past Baltimore, Joe, at minus 158, we go then to the New York Jets. Of course, Gangrene has an odds-on favorite price to get to the postseason, but now it's just minus 134. The Chargers also minus money, Joe, at minus 115. The Dolphins in the mix as well, but they are right now more favored to miss the postseason necessarily than make. It's minus 115, no, for the Fins, minus 105 to the Jets. So, Joe, how do you think the wild card is going to shake out in the AFC?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Jacksonville, and I think it's going to be maybe either Cleveland or Baltimore. I'm not buying the Jets. And the Dolphins, I'd say a legitimate yes, but the off-the-field concerns about Tua, meaning like if he gets hit once or twice, is he going to be standing for 17 games? We have no idea of knowing the unknown or the health of Tua unless he goes out there and plays, and that's why they can't get my money right here, right now.
Health, a really big component. We wish the best for Tua Tagovailoa in his own personal competitive nature. But if he is there and healthy, the talent around him offensively, the upgrades the Dolphins have made defensively, I am optimistic about the Fins this upcoming season. By the way, Joe, Cleveland plus 104 to make the postseason. The Browns favored to miss at a minus 130 number. Plenty more on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on FFC. It is Football Full Circle all across the Sports Grid Radio Network, a preview of the 2023 National Football League season. So, Lisi Guy, when you look at the AFC, we'll take one final point here before flipping to the other conference. Are there any teams, Joe, you would consider maybe a long shot that might make a run to a playoff spot and might be able to make some noise come the postseason?
Yeah, I think it's Cleveland at 17-1 to win the AFC Championship. I like what they have. And the reason why I say that is because they have a rushing attack with Nick Chubb and that offensive line. Defensive front is very solid. It's a black and blue division. And again, I'm expecting a better year out of Deshaun Watson now that he got the ring rust out of his system last year. I'm expecting a more consistent offense in terms of the passing attack. So at 17-1. Right now, one of the best or most athletic quarterbacks that we've seen prior, you know, four or five seasons ago, I think he could get maybe 85, 90% of that. And that's why I think they're a legitimate dark horse to potentially challenge for an AFC championship.
And again, it's worth noting here that Cleveland is minus 130, favored to miss the playoffs. I don't say that just to knock Joe's point. It's just how competitive this league and conference is going to be this year. And Joe, the Browns' win total is 9.5. The under has the juice. But again, the expectation is around 9, 9.5 wins, that if they went over a 10, it's not even a guarantee. It's going to be a wild card spot or a divisional contention position for Cleveland. That is how tough, that is how grueling the AFC is expected on paper to be this year. I would keep an eye, Joe, on two other teams that I think could be around. One is based on consistency. The other is based on a bounce back. Consistency has to be the Pittsburgh Steelers, another team from the AFC North. A win total of 8.5 for Mike Tomlin and the Steelers this year. The over has the juice, and that's the right way of thinking about it, because 16 years now, Mike Tomlin has been the head coach of this Steelers franchise. They have never had a losing season. They have never won less than 8 games in a year. Even last year, Joe, starting Kenny Pickett for the final 12 games or so of the regular season, Pittsburgh rallied 6 of their final 8 games with a victory. And of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers were a 9-8 football team a season ago. So I would keep an eye on Pittsburgh just based on experience and pedigree and what the resume says, and the fact I think Kenny Pickett is going to only get better into year number 2, and they've made some improvements elsewhere around the roster. The other one, Joe, I find very interesting. The Denver Broncos are going to be a fascinating follow this upcoming year, because it is not a rebuild, but it necessarily does need to be building back. And when you add Sean Payton as a head coach, I think most would say during his prime in New Orleans, even in the final few years when things weren't as illustrious in the Big Easy after Drew Brees departed, that Sean Payton was still one of the 5 best coaches around the National Football League. So you bring him there, it's not to win in a couple years, it's win now, especially with all the financial investment into Russell Wilson. Last year was abysmal. Could not have been worse for Russ, and everybody else is a part of the Broncos organization in the Mile High City. But Joe, there is no grace period. There is no gap for Denver. It is now or never, with Sean Payton at the helm and Russell Wilson as the quarterback. There is so much talent in Denver. There is, both offensively, certainly on the defensive side of the football, despite taking a step back last year following the departure of Vic Fangio. But they were really good in the first 13, 14 weeks of the National Football League season. And Denver being the worst scoring offense in the NFL last year, if that even improves, Joe, to middle of the pack, this Denver Broncos team can win 8, 9, maybe even 10 games and become a playoff contender. They are going to be a team that I think is going to be fascinating to follow, given what expectations might have lessened to be following the disaster that was 2022, but the fact that expectations, Joe, can't drop off all that much having Sean Payton and Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. And we talked about, obviously, Denver at 30-1 to win the AFC championship, right? So if they start fast, they're just going to get shorter, right? Those odds are just going to get shorter to potentially 10-1 of where they were last year when everybody thought Russell Wilson was the savior to take this team to the promised land, right? I will say this, though. This is a very fragile team. And the reason why I say that is because if there is adversity or they do struggle to understand Sean Payton's offense early on in the season, is the team going to start to just push back on Russell Wilson the way they did last year? And that is the biggest concern I have. Obviously, if you're looking for a contender outside, you know, Cleveland that I mentioned, 30-1, again, it's a lottery ticket, because they start 6-2, they start 7-3. They're going to be automatically 12-15-1 to win an AFC championship, because people love Russell Wilson and they'll buy into the Denver Broncos with Sean Payton. So that is the downside, though. Yeah. It's fragile because the team pushed back against him, and that locker room was not, there was no gel, there was no continuity. Half the team hated Russell Wilson's guts, including the wide receiver. So if Sean Payton could get ahead of that, it's a great bet. And again, it's worth it at 30-1 to potentially have a lottery ticket, because at the end of the day, you're just going to be there if they start fast.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, because that number is only going to shorten if they start to play well. If they do not, however, that's when things change just a little bit. All right, Joe, to the NFC we go now, because we mentioned the tier of 3 in the AFC. There is seemed to be that, Joe, in the NFC, but it's a conference overall that feels like it is much more up in the air. There are question marks everywhere, except maybe for Philadelphia, who won this conference a year ago and is booked as the favorite right now to do it twice. Philadelphia, +330. They are the favorites to win the NFC. The Niners, Joe, the second best price at 4-1. We should not ultimately question San Francisco in the success they have seen over the last 5 years or so. They have made it to the NFC Championship game 3 times in the last 4 years, but the quarterback is certainly in question in the Bay this year. The Cowboys, the third best number at 6-1. The Lions, 9-1. And then a drop off to Seattle with the fifth best price at 13-1. So, Joe, how do you perceive the NFC for this upcoming 2023 season?
Yeah, it's definitely up in the air and very competitive. You could get a long shot, I think 18-1, 20-1 to potentially, obviously, win an NFC championship. I like Dallas at 6-1 early on. But again, you know, it's not as strong as the AFC. I mean, the road is very easy, right? Or easier. Let me put my words a little bit better. It's easier, right? So there is the potential in the NFC East, which we haven't seen back-to-back divisional winners since 2004, for a team like Dallas or maybe a long shot like the New York Giants to potentially steal the division. It's possible, and Philadelphia maybe is that wild card this year. You never can say never. In the NFC North, you have Minnesota that failed to live up to expectations last year. A team like Green Bay, I think, is live plus 350 to win the North, but more importantly, 18-1 to maybe hoist an NFC championship because of what they have. They have a balanced rushing attack. They have a defense that came on, and I think that as long as they're opportunistic and Jordan Love doesn't turn the football over, I think Green Bay could be a 10 or 11 win football team this year. So another team like New Orleans, I think if they get a run with a winnable division, and as long as they're 10-7 or let's say they over exceed 11-6 with that defense and Dennis Allen, another defensive-minded head coach, they can make a run and challenge potentially the Eagles and San Francisco, respectively. So, again, flip a coin because, yes, Eagles, San Fran, 1-2. I think Dallas is right there, a cut up under, but then it's anybody's guess who the fourth best team is.
And there's going to be seven that make the playoffs. And, Joe, I think New Orleans' price, where they stand right now, is just frankly too long. 17-1 for a team that is favored to win its division. The Saints, like the Buccaneers last year, could win the division with a losing record, and they would still host a playoff game. But you would have to assume, Joe, if the Saints are winning their division, it means Derek Carr has been pretty darn good in the Big Easy in his opening year with this Saints franchise. And the defense has remained the consistent thing under Dennis Allen, who, yes, is about to embark on year number two as the head man in NOLA, but he was the defensive coordinator six consecutive years under Sean Payton, and it's been a defense, Joe, that has really ranked in the top 10 in both scoring and total defense each of the past 3, 4, 5 years. So I think that price at 17-1 is too long, given how up in the air I think the rest of the NFC is. Philadelphia seems like a certainty. San Francisco has earned the benefit of the doubt. But if Brock Purdy is not back in time for training camp, the reports around Trey Lance right now and what the third overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft is expected to do is not all that great. And frankly, Joe, Dallas is talented. Do I think the Cowboys are going to win 11 games? Sure. Could they win 12 games? Sure. Could they contend for the NFC East and even win the division? Based on the recent trends, certainly the case, as nobody has gone back-to-back as a repeat champion in the NFC East division since 2004, and Philly won it a season ago. But, Joe, until the Cowboys even reach the NFC Championship game, I'm not going to spend any of my money on them to win the NFC Championship game because they have now appeared in the postseason 12 consecutive times, failing to get past the divisional round. So until that changes, Joe, until they can get that perceived bugaboo off their back, I can't back them in this market. So I think the 6-1 number is too low on the Cowboys and certainly not worth your time.
Yeah, I mean, again, I bet on the Cowboys before, and I've been wrong, right? And they were within striking distance against San Francisco last year, and Dak Prescott did not live up to expectations. However, we're talking about just getting to the dance, right? There's only a handful of teams that make it seven apiece, right? So divisional winners and then three wild cards. At the end of the day, I expect Dallas to be there. Can they get a home game for potentially a wild card matchup? Can they potentially steal the division? It's anybody. Guess. I like the moves that they made, though, on the offensive side of the ball. I think they definitely solidified the passing game. Now they have to live up to expectations, Ben.
And we will see if that can be done. Tony Pollard is the main back now in Big D. Mike McCarthy is calling the plays. Also doesn't make me overly optimistic. But so much talent defensively under Dan Quinn, who is back once again as the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. More on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on Football Full Circle.
It is FFC live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. So, Joe, the NFC feels a little bit up in the air. You made your case on the Dallas Cowboys. How do you feel about the 49ers, Joe? Do you think the quarterback conversation in the Bay is overblown, whether it's Brock Purdy or Trey Lance? They have so much talent around them. George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and defensively as stacked as they will come, and they have earned our respect, having appeared in an NFC championship game three of the last 4 years, that the quarterback conversation is overblown, or is it a legitimate concern, Joe, for San Francisco entering this season?
No, it's a legitimate concern. And at the end of the day, you can't rush Brock Purdy back. You got to make sure he's 100%. An elbow injury could always linger in the middle part of the season. Look at Matt Stafford before, right? Everything was fine at the start of the year. He didn't have surgery until now. But at the end of the day, it could always creep. You're throwing the football. So you got to make sure Brock Purdy is 100% rehabilitated and healthy. But on the flip side, you also have to know what you have in Trey Lance. This is a team that reached up from what, 14 to 3 overall. They had to have Trey Lance. They couldn't do without him. They had to have him on their roster, and they still don't know if he could be a potential starter in this league. All right? So that is the situation in San Francisco. For John Lynch to go out in the offseason and say, Brock Purdy's our guy, he has the locker room, that leads me to believe that, obviously, that's John Lynch's guy, right? Is Trey Lance Shanahan's guy? We don't know, because Shanahan hasn't stepped up and said, the reason why we reached up to grab Trey Lance was because of me. Nobody wants to take accountability. But up until this point, Trey Lance hasn't really lived up to expectations. He's basically in the exact same situation that Zach Wilson is in New York. Is he the starter? Can he play in this league? Or is he Sam Darnold 2.0? It's the same type of situation with Trey Lance. And at the end of the day, if Purdy's not ready, you start Trey Lance because you need to see if this guy can even play in the league. And then on top of it, the question that we all need to know is Christian McCaffrey good for potentially 15 or 17 games? Because even though he got through last year, he's like Aaron Judge with the New York Yankees. He's an injury away from missing about 10 or 12 games for the regular season. And then are you buying into that second team price behind Philly? I'm not.
Hold on a second. What? What was that final point about Philly?
I said... If Christian McCaffrey misses time, right?
Yeah,
are you buying in? If he's out of that offense, are you going to buy in that they have the second best price in the NFC behind Philly? I'm not.
Gotcha. No. Okay, now I hear you. I heard the second best team price behind Philly, and it confused me a little bit there, Joe. But I hear your point. Absolutely so. There is legitimate concern. There has to be legitimate concern around San Francisco. Christian McCaffrey, who was really injury plagued over the final two seasons, fully that he spent in Carolina, just 10 games in those 2 years before last year being dealt by the Panthers ahead of the trade deadline, obviously a significant piece for San Francisco. The injury concern is there. What exactly does the offense look like, Joe? What do those first team reps even look like as training camp begins? Is it Brock Purdy? More than likely not. If it is Trey Lance, are you taking away reps that Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy, entering only his second year, desperately needs? Or is Trey Lance even going to be that guy at any point, Joe, for San Francisco? I think the points about who's controlling the shots and whose guy is who, maybe Trey Lance more seen to be given the keys to Kyle Shanahan's offense to fully unlock what it might be capable of doing, is different than how John Lynch would look at what just trying to be consistent means for this team and noticing all the talent elsewhere on the roster. Because of that, Joe, I am not fully bought in on the Niners as well. And San Francisco is booked as an odds-on favorite to win the NFC West, where, listen, the Seahawks have the fifth-best price currently to win the NFC, 13-1. I expect a tad bit of regression for Geno and Seattle this year. I don't necessarily know if they're a surefire pick to make the postseason or if they're worth betting that 13-1 price, the fifth-best odds to win the NFC this year. The Vikings, Joe, I think are an incredibly interesting team because as we focus on the NFC North, Lisi, the Lions are the favorites to win the division. Yes, you heard that correctly. Detroit is priced as the favorite to win the NFC North. A Lions team that was above 500 last last year, 9-8 in Dan Campbell's second year, but not a playoff team. A team the year prior, Joe, that won three games, 3-15, is now priced to win a division, something they have not done, Joe Lisi, in three decades. Joe, you mentioned the Packers and you have some optimism around them. How do you evaluate the entirety of the NFC North this year?
Well, I mean, the North is a black and blue division. I mean, the Vikings are good, but are they elite? I don't believe so. They lose Dalvin Cook, right? Madison is the guy. And at the end of the day, are we buying into Kirk Cousins in terms of a playoff environment? They couldn't beat the New York Giants with Daniel Jones. We're going to believe that Kirk Cousins is going to win an NFC championship. I do not like the way O'Connell prepared for the playoff loss to the New York Giants. Even though they had the Giants, they scored 28 points or so. They didn't use in crunch time the rushing attack with Dalvin Cook. And at the end of the day, I thought that was a poor job in terms of game planning, and that's why I'm not buying into the Minnesota Vikings this season. I do like Green Bay. I do like Chicago. I mean, to me, Chicago, you know, here's the thing. I believe you're going to see leaps and bounds from Justin Fields this year. The problem is you have a defensive-minded head coach. They didn't put a ton of playmakers around them. And I think they could be an 8 or 9 win football team. But outside of that, they're not going to challenge for an NFC championship. The only team I believe in that division that is built for an NFC championship right here, right now, believe it or not, is Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. And I already bet them at +350 to win it.
It is interesting, Joe, when you see Green Bay this year, obviously the Packers have dominated this division. They have won it 8 of the last 12 years, but that was with Aaron Rodgers as the starting quarterback. It's a very young team, especially offensively, led by Jordan Love now for the Packers. But there is an idea, Joe, there's not going to be that significant of a drop-off in a division that is very up in the air. +145 for the Lions, Joe. That's the favorite number, the shortest price. The Bears have the longest of the four at +420. But, Lisi, we're talking about less than a $3 difference between the team that is favored to win the division and the team with the longest shot, at least as the odds anticipate, of winning the division. And both you and I are Justin Fields. Guys, is year number 3 really the year, finally, that everything adds up? The arm talent, the pocket awareness, the ability to play quarterback, match with what he can do athletically and using his legs, Joe. Is this the year everything stacks up in favor of Fields and the Bears, where they could make a run at this divisional championship, given how up in the air it is?
I think they can. And the problem is, Ben, is that, again, you see the trajectory of Jalen Hurts. It took off when they got Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, right? It could take off for Justin Fields if they go and get a player like D. Hopkins, or they would have gotten a marquee player in terms of the upcoming draft. After they went defense in the first round, why didn't they solidify the wide receiver position, stack talent to give Justin Fields weapons? And again, they didn't do that. I believe Chicago could be a contender in the sense of a wild card, but we're talking win the NFC championship. Absolutely not. But I tell you what, Justin Fields could be, again, one of the most dynamic athletic quarterbacks this year and could put up Jalen Hurts type of numbers with the proper talent around him. Again, you're going to see an elevation out of Justin Fields. Every guru and analyst is going to say, see, I told you that's why we should have taken him. And the New York Jets didn't take him, and let's hope they get back to the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers now.
Yeah, it's a good point, Joe. It's a really, really good point on how Chicago stacks up this year. Have they invested enough around their young quarterback to really see him succeed? 55 sacks last year, tied for the most in the National Football League with Russell Wilson. The reason he had to run is because he had to run. And he went off for the second most rushing yards we've ever seen, 1,064, by a quarterback in a single season, only behind Lamar Jackson, when Lamar put up more than 1,200 in the year he won MVP back in 2019. So, Joe, as we keep it going through the NFC, I thought you brought up a great point about the NFC South. Right now, the Saints, again, are booked as the favorites, +135, less than a dollar in front of the Falcons, in front of the Panthers, and the Buccaneers have the longest number currently at 7-1. I think we rule out the Buccaneers from this conversation, Joe, but feel free to interject if you think I'm incorrect in doing so. I think the quarterback issues Tampa Bay has far too insurmountable to overcome this year. But really, Joe, when you look at the Falcons and the Panthers, the Saints also, all of them finished 7-10 last year. It's why I think there is so much of a tight grouping here between those three teams at the top of this division. But the Panthers are going to start a rookie quarterback. Atlanta is going to start a second-year quarterback that only has a few starts under his belt in Desmond Ridder, who is a third-round pick in 2022. And Joe, the Saints have the most proven quarterback, certainly, and maybe most talent around him throughout the rest of the roster, in Derek Carr. They should be the favorites, and if they are the favorites to win at plus 135 in this division, which I think they are certainly on track to do, then, Joe, they got to have a better price to win the NFC than that 17-1 number we discussed earlier.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's the Saints' division to lose, right? And I say that because of the big game experience out of Derek Carr. And look at the other quarterbacks in the division. I mean, it's just amazing right now. Des Ridder, Bryce Young, and obviously, I believe Andy Dalton's on Carolina. He says he's better than 32 quarterbacks. Only time will tell. But at the end of the day, I mean, they're there because of Derek Carr. They're there because of the consistency of the New Orleans defense, Demario Davis, and how they step up in big games and are opportunistic. I know, and I'm going to get bashed for this, but I think one team that everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid on is Atlanta, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. Everybody loves this team. 8.5 win total. I'm not sold on Des Ridder. I'm not sold on the front seven. I know Arthur Smith got the most out of this team. But again, I would put Carolina personally with Frank Reich and Bryce Young ahead of Atlanta. I know the division is there and the schedule is there, but I'm selling this team along with Tampa Bay. And the reason why Tampa Bay, Ben, at 7-1 is where they are isn't just because of the quarterback position. That defense under Todd Bowles took a major step back most of the season. They got abused at the point of attack, especially against the run.
Absolutely so. Todd Bowles, a great defensive coordinator. He had some success in New York as well as the head man, but there leaves a little bit to be desired in terms of the overall head coaching position that Todd Bowles has undertaken in Tampa Bay. That if it is a bad year, Joe, you would expect his name to very much be on the hot seat by the end of it. I want to focus on the NFC West, Joe, for just a couple of more minutes here. As we said, the Niners are the minus 165 favorite to win this division. It is the best price of any team to win any division right now in the National Football League. We both expressed our concern around the quarterback position and maybe some other lingering issues for San Francisco. The Seattle Seahawks have the second best price at 2-1. I'm going to put them to side for just a second. The LA Rams, Joe, 10-1 to win this division. The Rams have a win total of 6.5 this year. 6.5. I think it is way too low of an estimation and evaluation right now of Los Angeles, a team that won a Super Bowl just 2 years ago and probably had the worst hangover you've ever seen last year. In fact, it was historic, a 5-12 record where they lost the most games ever for a team that was coming off a Super Bowl championship. But health was a huge component of that, and they have gotten much healthier. Once again, if they remain healthy, and health is always a huge component of everything, if they remain healthy, this Rams team is going to well exceed expectation. We'll talk about it up next here to round out today's show on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're back for just a few more minutes here on Football Full Circle. All right, Lisi guy, let's examine the NFC West. Because again, the Niners are the favorites at minus 165, an odds-on favorite. In fact, the best price to win any division right now in all of the National Football League. All eight that are remaining here in this league, the four in the AFC, the four in the NFC. Joe, when you look at Seattle, they have the second best price at 2-1. But I brought up the Rams, and I think they're being incredibly undervalued right now at 10-1. LA is a team with a win total of 6.5. Joe, am I too high on Los Angeles entering this year?
No, I'm with you. And we talked about it. I even liked them week one against Seattle. I really do. Again, as long as Matt Stafford's healthy, the offensive line came together, especially in terms of run, the rushing attack with Cam Akers at the end of the year. Aaron Donald comes back. Hopefully Cooper Kupp is back at some point and consistent to where he was one of the best wide receiver in the league.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I'm expecting Seattle to take a minor step back They overexceeded expectations last year, and we know where Arizona is. So potentially they could steal maybe four wins in the division, Ben. So at that, if they could go 4-2 overall, you got a shot.
I would think so, Joe. Again, this is a team that won a Super Bowl in 2021. Now, there are some missing pieces from that roster. Jalen Ramsey, now in Miami. Von Miller, of course, who was integral for that run. Well, he's no longer there either. Leonard Floyd, not in Los Angeles, and he had 9 sacks at least in 3 years with the Rams. There are some key missing components, Joe, but there are also some very integral parts that remain. Sean McVay is back and, as reports state, re-energized as the head man. Matthew Stafford, you hope, is healthy this year after an injury-plagued 2022. The same with Cooper Kupp. And Aaron Donald still anchors that defense for LA. I'm not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl. I'm not saying they're even going to win the division. But to go over 6.5 wins and being slightly overlooked by the odds at the moment, certainly worth a sprinkle on LA. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Steven. That does it for Football Full Circle today on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com, SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.